You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up with refugee policy in the news, our guest looks at the numbers of refugees here in Wisconsin and where they came from.
Right now, it's been a busy week and a half for the new presidential administration with confirmation hearings, executive orders and memoranda, and a steady stream of presidential tweets.
And there's been backlash with protests after the inauguration and in reaction to immigration and refugee changes and a Democratic walkout on some key committee hearings for cabinet appointees.
Fred Barnes joins us now for a look at the opening days of the Trump presidency. He is executive editor of the Weekly Standard. Fred, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again.
A lot going on, Fred, but big picture, your thoughts on the Trump administration so far?
Well, I think he's doing okay. Not great. He's certainly moving at a very fast speed. I remember when Reagan didn't get to his first serious action until the eighth day. Trump had already done, he'd gotten rid of a trade treaty, done stuff on immigration, he'd done all kinds of things by his eighth day. He's made a couple of mistakes. I think the one that is the most damaging mistake is not this refugee thing, the suspension of letting refugees in for, what, 120 days. The problem is Mexico. He has to get along with Mexico. He needs to have an ally in the Mexican president. Mexico's not going to move away. And so by getting in a fight unnecessarily over this question of who's going to pay for the wall, I think Trump's made a mistake on that. And, of course, there's a big flap over this suspension of refugees coming in for, 3 months?
Now, you recently wrote that Democrats could actually have more room for cooperation with President Trump than they would with a more traditional conservative Republican. Today, we're seeing this boycott of a couple of the confirmation hearings. Tom Price at Health and Human Services, Seth Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary. They're worried about some of the ethics information they've seen or don't have. What do you make of the Democratic reaction? You missed opportunity, it seems like you'd say.
Yeah, well, no, I think I'll withdraw that prediction. It doesn't look very good at the moment. Now, one of the things, of course, is infrastructure. Trump wants to spend $1 trillion, and Democrats want to spend $1 trillion, not all in 1 year. I think they'll come together on that because it serves the interest of both of them. But for the moment, Democrats are having a fit and doing things like boycotting a vote on a cabinet member that they know is going to pass. And it just, I mean, this is just, you know, harassment. It's annoying to Republicans. And you know, I guess in a few days they'll show up and they'll vote for Tom Price as the HHS secretary. And I forget who the other one is, but that one will probably pass, too.
You described in a recent piece Donald Trump as a big government conservative, which is kind of a new category. How is this going to work as he relates with small government conservatives in Congress?
Well, it's not going to work very well. I think there's a rub there. Paul Ryan's a good example of, I think, a small government conservative, somebody who is believes in letting the free market do as much as it can. Trump obviously has intervened in the free market with his efforts to jawbone American corporations and keep them from sending jobs out of Mexico or overseas. But the other thing is that Trump, is not a free trader. And most Republicans are free traders. Now, this Trans-Pacific treaty wasn't a very good one, wasn't negotiated very well, and so I don't think anybody's in the U.S. anyway is particularly sorry to see it go, but there's going to be a rub there. When Trump talks about, you know, he's going to charge Mexico 20% a tariff for anything they send in the United States, I think he's going to run into trouble on that. And then you have the economic package with tax cuts in it, and we'll see how they come down. But it's on the economy, Trump is not a small government conservative. He's not like most Republicans. When I say big government conservative, what I mean is somebody who is basically conservative but believes in big projects. I mean, think of all the things that Trump wants to spend on infrastructure, a new space program, a program of expanded medical research, a huge military buildup. That's big government stuff.
Yeah, how do you see that going? Is Congress going to provide the funding for all that new spending that the president wants?
Well, here is something that for a good bit of it, you know, Democrats would like to spend it, but it's going to be Republicans, particularly in the House of Representatives, who are going to balk in that. And I suspect Trump will have to cut back on what he wants, on how much he wants to spend, perhaps spread it over more years. But, you know, look, he's the president. And he's going to spend more than, say, George W. Bush did, at least initially, or Ronald Reagan did.
One place where he may be more in line with congressional Republicans is regulatory reform. He's talked about this and for one department anyway, a two-for-one rule. You want one new regulation, you got to cut two, maybe big cutbacks coming in EPA staff. Where do you see that going?
Well, I don't know. This rule, you know, two-for-one, I mean, that... I don't see that happening very well. You have to go after specific rules, specific regulations that you don't like, and get rid of them. And you're going to get rid of, the two-for-one thing doesn't work. You have to be a lot more specific. Some places you're not going to want to cut a lot of rules. Others you're going to want to cut a lot. So, they need to get specific, and they will. I mean, look, when they get their cabinet members in, and the one that I'm most interested in watching is Scott Pruitt, the Oklahoma Attorney General who's been nominated to head the Environmental Protection Agency. He sued that agency a number of times. I know he wants to get rid of a lot of their regulations, and I want to see what happens when he tries.
Talking to Fred Barnes, executive editor of the Weekly Standard. He's sharing his thoughts on the first 10-plus now days of the Donald Trump presidency. Max Boot, who sometimes has written for the Weekly Standard over the years,
sure.
New piece in Foreign Policy, very worried, he says, about foreign policy so far in the Trump administration, the role of Stephen Bannon, a political strategist now in the Principals Committee of the National Security Council, while the heads of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Director of National Intelligence not on that Principals Committee anymore. He writes, quoting, "This is looking very much like the Bannon Regency." Is that going too far?
I think that's going too far, but it was unusual that Steve Bannon was put on the National Security Council and the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the Pentagon and the chief intelligence officer in the administration there. They were given a reduced role. I had a little trouble swallowing that one. We'll see what happens, but you know, there is this phenomenon that the press is always looking for. I'm always looking for it, too, to find the guy who you can say is the de facto president. That's what the New York Times in an editorial today called him, Steve Bannon. You know, it was, remember when Dick Cheney was really running the George W. Bush White House and what's her name from Chicago was, she was the secret power.
Valerie Jarrett, I think.
Yeah, Valerie Jarrett behind Barack Obama. There's always somebody, and Jim Baker, when he was the White House Chief of Staff, a very good one, but he was really running it, the White House and deciding everything. It wasn't really Ronald Reagan. So the press is always looking for somebody like that, and Steve Bannon has been elected.
Whether he is de facto president or not, a lot of people are pointing toward a Bannon-esque tone in Donald Trump's inaugural address. In the foreign policy, we've seen so far very strong with ideas of economic nationalism, border security, worried about immigrants, not just illegal immigrants, maybe legal immigration, maybe special visas for high tech and other companies. Is that fair to say that Donald Trump is on a Bannon-esque line here?
Yeah, but, you know, he was already there before Bannon came in as an advisor in the campaign and now in a very strong role at the White House, apparently. That's just Bannon and Trump agreeing. Look, if you think those are bad policies, I think you have to blame the president and not Bannon. I think most of them are fairly good. But look, Bannon's going to get watched because they have this. Look, I think a big problem with the White House is they don't have a strong chief of staff. You need a strong chief of staff. You need hierarchy. I know that sounds terrible, but hierarchy is what you need. You need somebody who can exert discipline and control things, without, you know, squashing the president. And the White House doesn't have that. Reince Priebus is a fine guy, but he's, you know, he's a newcomer to Trump, and he's not been allowed to really exert power there that someone needs. You need a CEO underneath the president.
Now, a Supreme Court nomination accepted tonight. Apparently, two front runners coming into Washington for the final selection. President Trump presenting it in prime time. What are your hopes for this appointment?
Well, look, I don't. I'd like to see a conservative on the bench and in the seat that Justice Scalia had. He died last February, and either one of them would be great. I know a little about both of them. The one who everyone has thought, including people who have talked to Trump, thought that Neil Gorsuch from Colorado, who's a federal appeals court judge, was number one. On the other hand, Tom Hardiman, who's on the appeals court in Pennsylvania, is a guy who I think Trump is bound to like. He comes from a working class background and is supposed to be a very, very likable guy. I know he came in to meet Trump, and he was loaded for bear. He was really prepared. He didn't come in just to chit chat with Trump. He came in to really answer serious questions. So, look, I don't know which one it's going to be, but either one's fine with me.
Briefly, if Democrats filibuster this and they hold firm to that, Republicans would have to effectively end the filibuster on Supreme Court nominees, the so-called nuclear option. Should they do that if that happens?
Well, you know, I'm a little dubious of it, but I suspend, and Mitch McConnell does not want to do it unless he has to. And look, we'll see. I mean, look, it'll be 40, 45 days before the first hearing on whoever the nominee is, because there's this long process of FBI background checks and so on. And then we'll see how he does there and see if there's some Democrats who like him. If you don't have to do it, don't do it.
All right, Fred, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
We've been talking to Fred Barnes, executive editor of The Weekly Standard.
Coming up after the news, as President Trump signs executive orders limiting immigration and refugee resettlement in the United States, we take a look at refugees who have put down roots here in Wisconsin. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.